Someone in your family who gave the paid the ultimate price. I want to thank you as well. And what a freedom we have as we look around our country, and it is not perfect by any means. But she's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Amen. And as of up till today, we're still standing with Israel. Amen. So I thank you so much for your service to preserve freedom. What a blessing. I want to say my dad is watching, I believe. He's had that. Thank you for praying for him. He's had that infection, and I want to thank my dad for his service. Much of my family got drafted during Vietnam on his side, and even his oldest brother in Korea. And so for many of you, I have family on both sides of my family that have served, and I got drafted into a different army. Amen. The Lord called me at an early age and drafted me into his service. And I thank God to be a soldier in his army, but I do thank God for those that have paid the ultimate price, and others who have really have just, again, many of you carry things that from your service time, you still carry it today. And I thank you for your service. I thank you for your sacrifice of your time for our nation and its freedom for its people. Today I want to preach a message in Luke chapter number 3. The title will be this, The First Boots on the Ground. The first boots on the ground. A lot of times when we use the term the first boots on the ground, the Marines, and Brother Steve, out of all the days that Brother Steve to be gone, and he's out with his son Cole and the Sanix. Cole was graduating from boot camp. What a blessing, amen. And I've been praying for them as they travel up there to do that and see him. He would say, the Marines, amen, first boots on the ground, amen. Now, I realize we got all different representations of different military status here today. And I realize that in many different conflicts, it wasn't always just the Marines that were the first boots on the ground. Amen. If you're a student of history and understand anything about it, there's been a lot of different ones. And typically, they have been oftentimes the first to be deployed in certain ways. But just let me say thank you to all of your service. But as we look back at history and we just kind of look at the first boots on the ground, a lot of times they face the fiercest fire. They face the hardest. They're trying to pave a way for the second wave, and they're hitting the ground. And sometimes they realize that this could be it. But so many times, from the beaches of Normandy to so many different Pacific islands where people took hills, and it wasn't always beaches. Sometimes it was the first ones to have to take a bunker or a hill and to be in those places. And so we realize from history that there's something to be said for the first boots on the ground. And I want you to see in Luke chapter number 3 that from our faith, the very first boots on the ground for the New Testament was John the Baptist. And God sent him as a forerunner for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to see in the passage today, and hopefully it'll all come together here. But John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, and he is laying a foundation of repentance, which is not one of works. It's one of turning away from things that you're trusting in that would keep you from realizing that the true way, the true life is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the forerunner of Christ, John was there, and he was preaching to primarily Jews who were coming out into the wilderness to see this man who was peculiar. He was different. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness and just preaching the really gospel of repentance unto God and remission of your sins. He was saying that, listen, folks, you can try to do all the works you want, but your good's never going to outweigh your bad. You got to repent of those things and turn to Christ, who is the Christ, who will come and is coming and going to pay that sin debt. Remission of sins means they're taken away. They're remitted. They're paid for. You say, well, preacher, I mean, John the Baptist came, and yeah, what a blessing, and what a forerunner, someone who stood. Sometimes the forerunners are the first boots on the ground. It doesn't turn out well for them. Amen. They go and they try to pave a way for others that are going to come behind them, and John was no different. He came and preached, and when he was asked about Jesus Christ, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. He understood his place and his role that he played. He was really some of the first boots on the ground. But here in the passage, he's going to, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I just want you to understand, He talked about boots that were going to come that were after his. Now, I just want to say, as my dad was in the military, my dad was in the Army. And, you know, when I remember of that age as a small boy, I remember my dad going after the conflict in Vietnam was over. My dad was still in the National Guard and was making many trips back and forth to go on the weekends. And I remember as a boy sometimes driving up to see him with my mom. And I don't remember a whole lot about it. I just remember that it was in all the time it was important. My dad's boots were important. And I didn't understand why, because there was a lot of other shoes that he wore, that, and his work shoes. He never spit polished his work shoes. You know, I mean, he never had a brush out working on his shoes that he went. My dad was, when I grew up, my dad was in the trash business. Our family had about three or four different trash trucks, and he contracted trash. And I remember I was telling Brother Vic this morning, as a 6, 7, 8-year-old boy hanging off on one side of the trash truck on a Saturday afternoon, and my dad being on the other side and my mom driving the trash truck, and that's how we made a living. And we would just pick up the trash. And I remember I grabbed a bag one day, and the bag just, you know, have you ever been around trash and the bottom drop out of it? Amen. There's not, you know, there's a lot of things that I could say about it. But first of all, it felt like, you know, and there was just, there were things moving inside that bag that I don't think were there before, you know. And I looked at the trash and I knew it needed to go in the truck, and I looked at my hands. I looked at the trash and I looked at my hands, and my dad said, "It ain't gonna pick itself up." And then he said, "Don't worry, boy, there's nothing down there that won't wash off." And I never forgot that. My dad just said, "Look, get it up off the ground. It's got to come off of there. There ain't nothing that wouldn't wash off." And I know for me and you, if you were serving the Lord Jesus, one of the great blessings of this life is that as I serve him, I realize that my sins are washed away. That I'm not working for heaven, but I'm working for the God of heaven. I'm not working for heavenly home. I'm working for heavenly reward. I want to cross over. Listen, most soldiers, they fight for home. I've heard soldiers say they fight for the man in the foxhole with them. But many of them, I've seen so many men that made it through the fight, and they were fighting for freedom and the man next to them and all that. But listen, let me tell you, I haven't seen one when everything's done and the battle is won and their recognition, and they're there and they got everything just right. And they're standing there and they've been recognized, and, you know, they're pinning those medals on them to say, "Well done." Listen, that's what, when we get home, that's what it's about. As we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know it'll be crowns that are put upon our head and not medals on our chest to give back to him. But I seek and I work to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what every one of us in here do. In Luke chapter number 3, we see John, and he's going to begin to preach. And it gives some introduction in the first couple verses there about the time frame of when John came. And that's important. The Bible gives details so we can know what time period of the world that John came to the world and that Jesus came into the world, so that we can realize that it's not some story that's made up, but it's a real life that Jesus came in the day and age where all the world marks down Rome and it's Caesar's and all the people they put in. Jesus came into the world at this time period, and we can mark it down. He does it here in the chapter in verse 1 with the Caesar that's sitting, and Pontius Pilate is governor. And then as you get into verse 2, it marks for the Jews who is the high priest in that time period. And then in verse 3, we see, "And he came into all the country about Jordan," speaking of John, as he was mentioned in chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 3. And it says, "And he came to pass, it came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth.'" Boy, if that don't sound like a soldier, I don't know what does. He says, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." See, the purpose of John the Baptist, if you didn't know what his purpose was, there's a lot of people, well, his purpose was to baptize. Baptism was a symbol, an outward symbol like it is in today, of what had happened inside of a person. That they had turned from believing something different and had turned to the Messiah and believing and looking for him. That is why all of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus Christ were of John's baptism, because they had come out from among all the teaching of the day and those of works for the law and working for this and believing in that, and turned to a place where they repented of all those things that they were looking towards, and they turned fully in belief that the Messiah was coming and that the Messiah was going to save and that the salvation of God would come through that Messiah. You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure. Well, read on with me. Look at verse 7. Then he said unto the multitude, they said unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized unto him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid, look at this, laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? You see, they came out to him and he was preaching a gospel that they had never heard before. Because what they had heard at the temple was, if you just keep the law, you can be saved. If you're just a good person, you can be saved. If you just do this and you do that, and they just told him all the different things about the law and practice what Moses said. But John was a forerunner of Christ. He didn't point back to Moses and say, look at what Moses said. He said, you look forward to the one that Moses said would come. You don't look back at Abraham. Listen, I don't know about you if you understand all the things that are going on in the world today, but there are two groups of people, the Gaza Strip, Egypt, and so on, all those places. You know where most of them are pointing back? The ones that hate Israel the most, they're pointing back to Abraham. You got two factions of people who are pointing back to saying, this is our claim on salvation. This is our claim on the land, Abraham. Folks, when Abraham sinned, you want to see what sin can do to a sin-cursed earth? The battle that rages today in the Middle East is because Abraham tried to do it himself instead of waiting on God to do it how he said he was going to do it. Do you know how many times that people have messed up this world with good intentions? Do you know how many times with good intentions people have died and gone to a devil's hell? Because they tried to do good. Now, he says here that now we could go to the book of James, and I for time's sake this morning, but I'm just going to tell you, James's theme in chapter 2 is to tell you that you show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. And you show me your works, and I'll be able to see your faith. You see, we believe and trust in Jesus Christ by faith. But faith inside of a believer brings us to work. We can't help it. John the Baptist, who believed, didn't just sit on his fist and lean back on his thumb. He was called from his mother womb and filled with the Holy Ghost, the first boots on the ground for Jesus Christ, and he went out into the wilderness. That's not always the best place to get a crowd, but that's where God told him to go. We're in missions month. You know, sometimes you go to places that you don't think you could get a crowd, and you just start crying in the wilderness, and people will show up. Do you know in a lot of places, I've talked to two or three different missionaries that they go out and they show a gospel movie, get a group of people together and preach to them. They go out in the middle of nowhere and they start the generator and they crank up some gospel music. They start getting on the microphone and say, hey, we're going to have a service. And he said, you'll see people coming out of the bush from every different direction. And all of a sudden they come out to a place in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, because they're looking for something. Listen, folks, you see these people here. They said, he says, listen, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. You say, well, what is fruit worthy to repentance? He tells them to come out here and realize, look, he talks about Abraham. He sees their need. He sees their error. It's not hard to go out and look in the world. There's a bunch of people that are carrying around a bunch of rosary beads, and I know what they're trusting in. They're not trusting in Jesus alone. They're trusting in praying to Mary to get them to heaven. There's a bunch of people that are knocking doors, and I was even told this morning a testimony of people that thought our people going out because they were dressed modestly were Jehovah Witnesses. Because to be honest with you, folks, nobody, when somebody knocks on your door, the first thought they think in our day and age is they must be Baptist. Because Baptists don't knock doors hardly anymore. Amen, preacher. That's right. Now, that's not true of our church, and God help that it ever would be. I want us to be the first boots on the ground in our town and the first boots when a moving truck shows up in the town. I want to be the first boots that come up the driveway. But you know what most people think when you come up the driveway? They must be Jehovah Witnesses. And you know why most people turn the Jehovah Witnesses away? Because they know that they believe they're working their way to heaven. You know what drives them to knock every door? I got to get so many doors in. You know the Mormon elders that ride their bicycles around wear the white shirts? Listen, I wear a white shirt, but I'm not a Mormon elder. You know why they ride their bicycle? Because they got to hit so many doors before they can level up. They got to level up to the next level. They got levels to work their way to heaven. And aren't you glad that you don't have any level? When it gets on the level, you realize that Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid your sin debt. And when you accept him and you believe in him, you repent from all the other beliefs that you've been turning to. And you turn solely and wholly to Jesus Christ, that he'll save your never dying soul. And he'll give you a home that you don't deserve, but one in heaven, because he deserves it, because of what he's done in his perfect life. That's what the first boots on the ground. John came to tell people. He said, listen, I'm just going to tell you today, all of y'all think that you're going to heaven because you're of the seed of Abraham. He said, it ain't so. It ain't so. And then he goes further, because they really didn't get it. You know what? They believe so much in their family tree. John went so far as to say, Jesus is about to cut it down. Jesus is going to lay an axe to the roots of this tree. And don't you think that this tree is going to grow you on up into heaven, that if you just keep one day, this tree is going to grow up and the Messiah is going to show up as one of the tallest, toppest branches. And the whole tree is going to be saved because the Messiah came. No, it don't matter with your family tree. Hey, if you came here today and you think you're saved because your mom and daddy were good, that you ain't saved. If you're here today and you think because your family goes to church that you're saved, that's not how you get saved. Even like these folks, they were trying to do one more religious act. If you could just let me, John, if God really told you, I can see that God is doing and God is in your life and the Holy Spirit's on you because I feel it when you preach. Just baptize me so I can have one more religious act. That's not what baptism's about. Baptism is about identifying with Jesus Christ, not one more work to get saved. Do you know there's a bunch of people? I go home, and every time I go home and we get up there to see my grandbaby, I make a turn and somebody's out there and they got a big broadcasting speaker and they're out there on the side of the road and they got a baptismal tank inside of a trailer. Saying, listen, just get saved. Pull off on the side of the road. Let us dunk you. And you're saved. Well, what makes that bath any different than all the other ones I've taken? Because it's in a mobile trailer that you pull around? Is it because the words that the man of God says over top of you, it's some ritualistic thing? Baptism never saved anybody. It's the Jesus of the baptism, being baptized. Listen, it's not baptism that saves, it's Jesus' command upon my life. I identify with Jesus. You say, preacher, you're just getting, listen, I'm not trying to hit everything. I'm just trying to hit it all. Look at verse 11. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart. See, they asked, what shall we do then? Listen, he's going to go with the law. He's going to say, listen, that you love your neighbor as yourself is really what he's going to say. But he says to all the common people, if you really wanted to be saved and you had fruits meet for repentance, then you'd be giving away some things. See, somebody that's truly believed in Jesus has compassion on other people. You know, it breaks my heart. You walk down the street and you see somebody begging for food. If Jesus is inside your heart, boy, that'll break your heart. The first thing you say won't be, get a job, you bum. You wonder, I know he needs to eat, but I wonder where he's going to spend eternity. Hey, folks, look at what he says. He says, he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. He's like, share what you got. Then the publicans come out. Listen, it's trying to really tell us all the different groups of people. And if you really wanted to repent, you'd be given to others that were in need, is what he tells the common man. Then the publican shows up. Now, I don't know if you know who a publican is. These dudes were tax collectors. All right? Nobody likes him. Right? And he tells them. He says, hey, listen. He says also publicans to be baptized. And he said unto them, they said, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. Listen, the way they made their living was skimming off the top, charging a little extra. I don't want to say the IRS does that. All right? But I'm just telling you, I don't like them either. I love it when a politician will get up and say, if 10% is good enough for Jesus, 9 is good enough for the government. Amen. That's good preaching. Anyway, so you say you just went political. I'm getting even more political before it's over with. Look at verse 14. And the soldier likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. See, I mean, there's all different people in the city. You know, veterans, I just want to tell you, thank you. I want to tell you, thank you. But these soldiers here, they come out and they want to be saved too. Do you know, we're in the middle of our missions month, and I don't know about you, if you understand, but there are missions all around the world. And one of the big ones where, if you go back and look at that, we have several missionaries that have left our country to go win people from our country to Christ. Because a lot of them are soldiers in their stationed in foreign lands. And you don't have to learn a brand new language. Well, maybe you do. You have to work on military time. Right? You have to learn a little different soldier language to be able to minister and to love and to help them. But listen, folks go around the world and they take the gospel to folks who are defending our freedoms all around the world. We support folks like that. We support folks because we listen, if that's where Americans are and that's where they'll listen to the gospel, that's where we ought to send a missionary that'll go and tell them about Jesus. These soldiers wanted to hear about Jesus. They said, they demanded of him. You see, all the other ones said, Master. You know, a soldier is oftentimes a man of authority, and they come and they demand of him. John was somebody all these other men have great respect, and they demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? You see, those soldiers were men just like all the other men. They were just men of authority. And they realized that they were men of authority that were going to spend eternity the same way everybody else was. And they needed a Savior just like the publicans and the regular common man of the day needed a Savior. Every soldier on this earth needs a Savior, just the same way. I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't matter what country he fights for, he needs to be saved. And this soldier here, he says, listen, don't do any violence to any man. You say, what do you mean? Well, see, the soldiers of that day ruled the world. If they wanted to take something, they could take it. If they didn't like the way somebody talked to them, they could punch them in the face and walk on. You say, well, preacher, did they do that? Well, evidently, John said, listen, if you want to show some fruits, you know, soldiers who have accepted Christ ought to be different. Not just a witness of Jesus Christ, but there ought to be a difference about them. I believe every soldier needs to be ready to fight. I believe they need to be ready. You know, it don't matter what job you do in the military. You know what? They send everybody to boot camp. Because even if you're going to work on the planes or the cars or the helicopters that they take people with, it may come down to the place where you need to pick up a rifle and fight with everybody else. So everybody's got to have basic training. Do you know what this is? This is just basic training from John the Baptist for them. Telling them, hey, you just need to be saved. You need to turn to the Messiah. He says, and as the people here is talking about all three groups that he's just given instruction to. He says to them, and as the people were in expectation. You know, they've listened to John preach and they're like, man, there's something different about him. I've heard the priest speak. I've heard the head of the synagogue speak, but nobody speaks like John the Baptist. He speaks with authority. Those people in expectation were waiting for John to say, I'm the Messiah. You see, they were coming out to be baptized. They were willing to do whatever John said because they thought he held the key to salvation. But he was just the first boots on the ground. He's the one paving the way for salvation to land with both feet. And he was going to be the one when everybody thought in expectation, he's going to say it. I know all his disciples were gathered around and waiting for him to say, I am the Messiah. When he was asked directly in other passages of scripture, he said, I'm not a Messiah. Here in the scripture, this is what Luke records this. In expectation in verse 15, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of his whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He goes on and says much about Lord Jesus Christ. He says, there's one person. I'm just the first pair of boots on the ground, but there's a pair of boots coming that I'm not even worthy to untie. There's one pair of boots that's going to hold the God of the universe. And when he touches down, he's going to bring salvation to all men. The salvation of our God is coming in, listen, not just through Abraham, but the God of all time, of all creation. The Lord Jesus Christ showed up and with boots on the ground, he fought a battle I couldn't fight. When many men and all these in this story, they're all trying to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Sinners can't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Sinners can't work their way to heaven. They couldn't do anything to be saved. They had to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And the one whose shoes they were not worthy to unlatch when he showed up. And they were all waiting for John in anticipation of him saying he was the Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Folks, today, soldier, American, mom, dad, Christian inside the building, let me remind you again, John was the first boots on the ground, and he came to point at a pair of boots that would save all mankind. Do you know, I heard a story about a missionary, and it's one of my favorite missionary stories, and I just want to head for home with this. This missionary's name is John Birch. As I was reading the scripture today, I was reminded of John the Baptist, and I thought of John Birch. John Birch was a missionary like no other, one that was dedicated from an early age to really following God's will for his life. He went and trained in Bible college and then had a burden for China. John Birch is not some ancient missionary. He was born in the midst of World War II. He did his best. He got on a Japanese ship while Japanese were, really trying to take over China. Many of you, I hope you know your history enough to realize that Japan was invading China and making their inland push to do that. And all the while, he got on a boat and snuck in on a Japanese freighter coming out of California. Right. And rode his way in and snuck his way into because all the Chinese were fleeing from their villages because of. Listen, you know what happens a lot of time when persecution comes? People were running to churches in China and getting saved. See, we don't understand that because now China's communist. Now they try to push away God and burn Bibles and try to keep and put people that have church in jail. But back then, China was an open country, not run by communists. And John Birch made his way through and put boots on the ground, could not speak the language, had heard of a missionary that needed to build a building, and him and a college student with him, neither one could speak a lick of Chinese, but both of them had hands to work. And while they learned the language, they built a brand new building for those Chinese that were getting saved by droves to meet in. And by the end of the time that they nailed the last few nails and they put the building together, they had a good hold on the language, and they spread out, and he went closer to where the Japanese were and kept going. While he was ministering in this foreign country of China, he heard tell of December 7th and how the Japanese that the Chinese were fighting had bombed his country at Pearl Harbor. And he continued to serve. He continued to help. And then he got word over the radio that the Doolittle raid had happened and that there were servicemen trapped in Japanese-controlled China. And that American who knew Chinese made his way and took 40 soldiers from the Doolittle raid and gathered them up. And Doolittle, in his own diary, said if it had not been for John Birch, none of them knew Chinese. None of them knew their way through the jungles, but there was a missionary there that knew his way. And John Birch went and got our soldiers and led them. Listen, if it hadn't been for the first boots on the ground, the first boots weren't soldiers there in China. It was American missionaries. And if it hadn't been for them to pave the way and to help people see people come to Christ, all those folks that landed in that Doolittle raid, listen, it would still have been a victory. But it was a great victory when Doolittle and many of his men came back to the States after bombing mainland Japan. And you say, well, preacher, what would you say all that for? That same John served. You know what Doolittle did? They made him a soldier. He continued to preach. But you know what he did? He also had some experience as a teenager, as a surveyor. And John Birch, knowing the language, began to help Chinese folks on the ground make runways for American planes in the jungle. As a surveyor, continued to serve throughout the military. Throughout the military, World War II ended, continued to tell people about Jesus, and gave his life as China became a communist nation. They became a communist nation, and I don't know how much of World War II you understand. But see, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, Jesus came. And you know why John the Baptist gave his life? Because he must increase and I must decrease. He stood when others wouldn't stand. He told old Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. And he stood on the word of God. You know what John Birch did? He stood on the word of God. And one day, men took his life for it. You know, for us, you know, we think of soldier. Boy, that's just what soldiers do. What about soldiers in the Lord's army? You know, we face perilous times ahead. As a nation, as a church, as a ministry, I don't know about you. If Jesus doesn't come soon, we're going to face persecution. If our nation begins to take steps to pull away from Israel, we can't change where we stand. We can't change what we preach. We can't change who we are, no matter what the popular thing of the day is. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus is still the way. He's still the truth. He's still the life. Israel is still the apple of God's eye, and we can't stop preaching the whole counsel of God just because the world changes its ways. John the Baptist was that first martyr. Amen, the forerunner of Christ. And in the New Testament age, we look back at Stephen, who stood and preached and gave his life. Folks, we're the boots on the ground today. Jesus paid our way to heaven, and he left us here. Listen, we didn't just go to heaven when we got saved. I'm glad I got to lace my boots up this morning, and I got to come to church to serve him for another week, another day. I don't know when he'll come. I don't know when he's coming back for me, but I'm not going to quit. I'm willing to go all the way for my faith. Listen, we're looking at a day and age. Listen, Christian, you say, boy, I'm looking for the return of Christ. I am too. Wouldn't it be so great if today was the day? But you know, I'm looking out at a crowd that maybe somebody here doesn't know. You haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior. Heaven would not be your home because you have not accepted the finished work of Jesus on Calvary. Today, I laced up my boots to come and tell you that Jesus still saves. I came to honor those that have gone before me and tell all these soldiers and men that have given, I mean, they've sacrificed for our country as veterans. I'm proud of you. Boy, but folks, there are some folks that if Jesus doesn't come, we need to be soldiers of the cross. We need to stand for what we've always stood for and stand hard and tough. This week, one of our college graduates, he said, preacher, the church I'm at is changing what they believe. They're changing their standards. What do I do? I said, you stand. You lace your boots up tight. And you go stand where you've always stood. And you tell them, I'm not the one that's moved. When I came here, the church believed this. They believed this. They believed this. And I'm still standing for what I believe. And I cannot stand for where you want to go. Folks, we're looking at a day and age where we got to stand. I'm looking at a church that's taken a stand for a long time. Let's lace up our boots again and decide until Jesus comes, we're going to stay the course. We're going to fight the good fight of faith till Jesus comes. And if you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Do you know today you can come and get saved? Get your boots for a brand new army, for a brand new military. You know, I can remember the day that I walked an old-fashioned aisle. I'd been a part of church. I'd been there a long time, and finally I realized that it wasn't about my works or who my mama and daddy were or where I had been raised, but that I needed Jesus as my personal Savior. And I stepped out, and I walked an old-fashioned aisle and got saved. You know, Jesus would do that for you today if you come and step out and walk down an old-fashioned aisle and receive him. He'll save you just like he did me 15, 20, 30 years ago now. You say, preacher, would he do that for me today? He'd do that for you today. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is just that simple. We can take a Bible and show you how you can know it today. If you'd accept it. If you'll call on his name, he'll save you. If you're here and you're a Christian, the preaching, the message today, the invitation for you is, let's not quit. What is the line that would make you say, I'm not going to keep going? Decide today. That determination is, I'm going to stay the course till Jesus comes. I won't quit till he shows up. I won't quit until I hear the trumpet, the call that says, come up hither. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never been saved, you never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want you to be saved today. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I need to accept Christ as my Savior. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. While heads are bowed, nobody's looking but me and God. Would you slip that hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you hold it up where I can pray for you so I can see it? If you're like that today, is there one anywhere across the auditorium? Is there somebody today that say, preacher, I'll stand with you. I'm going to lace my boots up tight and I'll hang on until Jesus comes. I'll fight the good fight till he comes. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I want to stand until Jesus comes. I see that hand. Let's stand to our feet. I said I would pray. I'm going to pray for you and for those that need to be saved.